Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
All right, welcome to Startup Addict episode Blackjack in my world, or 21 for you people. So today we're going to be talking about mindset.
I thought this was another bonus episode.
No.
Every episode's a bonus for you, Julio. Julio's gone rogue today.
Yeah.
Julio decided without telling us to start fucking streaming his recordings on his Facebook page.
Feel private. Feel violated.
It actually fits into this episode. I don't know if the goal is what's best for the podcast or what's best for Julio's fucking Facebook page.
Negative. We're trying to go live on our YouTube page that is lacking subscribers.
Guys. I'm not trying to build my Facebook page here, all right?
Three of us are aligned in T-shirts. Julio apparently woke up in another continent because he's wearing a ski jacket. Like a hat.
He looks warm.
Julio is ignoring us.
So I'm not.
All right. So we're going. What are we talking about? Mindset.
Mindset. How is your mindset?
We're getting a mindset reset. Let me tell you, I had a big change this morning.
What happened?
What's his name? A whole shift.
When you told me you had a shift this morning, I was like, gosh, what kind of morning was it?
It was a great morning. So we say that a lot on the show. Jim says not politically correct, but we've already been saying it, so we got to continue saying it. Right. We talk about whether it's at the gym or, you know, during a workout or looking in the mirror in the morning or getting psyched up for a meeting. I am constantly telling myself, don't be such a fucking pussy, right? It's supposed to be a pep talk. Like, you got this. You're not a fucking pussy. Let's go, right?
Yeah.
Now, the downside to that is, other than the fact that repeating it out loud doesn't sound very good.
Or not doing the meow and then screaming.
Yeah.
The pussy part. Yeah. Okay.
Is what you're really fucking saying is, don't be a negative. Don't let this negative part take over.
Yeah.
But you're not talking. There's nothing there about going forward or being better.
Yeah.
It's just don't be what you don't want to be. It's nothing talking about be what you want to be.
It's like a defensive.
So I was watching. I'm on a Maurice Clarett rampage lately, but I listened to that podcast and he popped up in my feed this morning that he was running and he was sore. But he wanted to do it, and he had to keep reminding himself that he's a bad motherfucker, right? And he's like, it does wonders for you. When you're doing shit, just tell yourself, I'm a bad motherfucker. And I'm like, that's it. My mindset has switched. No longer am I not trying. My goal is no longer to not be a pussy.
Yeah.
It's, I'm a bad motherfucker. Now, it doesn't sound as cool verbalizing that either. It sounds way tougher in my head. I got Edwards James almost talking in my head, right? But out loud, it's fucking not the same. But I realize there is a distinction, right? And it all is kind of like that. I don't know what it is. We talked about it a little bit on Friday. It's like this whole feeling confident and comfortable and being willing to say, we're going to fucking kick ass in this thing, or we're going to do this the best.
Yeah.
And it's always been a weird thing to me. And it's easy to say, oh, it's because it's bragging. It's not bragging. It's just that you don't really believe it yourself, right? So the question is okay, so we're not just going to be not bad. We're going to be better. And we're going to be the best at certain things, or the best version of ourselves in these things. I'm talking for me. I don't know if I'm saying we. I have multiple personalities, apparently. I don't want to speak for you guys. But I realize it's even just as simply as that, how you phrase things, sets a tone for yourself and for everyone else, right? If someone, I've been guilty of this all the time. If someone says so what's the, I don't know, we'll see what happens. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. Wing it. It'll be fun. I'm not saying that when I analyze it because, no, I think it'll be fun and fuck it. Who wants to know? I want to live every day being surprised and live on the edge. Because I have no fucking idea, right? The answer is, right? And at least to a point where I'm willing to say it and stand behind it, right? So, and part of that is learning, right? So part of that is, it's just the way it is. You're not sure about an idea, or you're not sure if something can be something else, right? So take, Nacheria, for example. You start off, it's like, if you've never opened a restaurant. So it feels weird to be we're gonna open a restaurant. And then it feels weird to be then we end up hiring, you hire a manager from another restaurant because you feel how the fuck, why the fuck would I be capable of running a restaurant? I've never done it. There must be someone that has the secret sauce and knows all this. So then you hire him. Then you realize that's not the case either. And then over time, slowly you realize, at least for me, right, my initial goal was not to have to pay that much attention.
Yeah.
And then over time, fortunately, I realized, no, I do have to pay attention because the people I'm hiring, the first managers we hired, they were terrible, right? And so eventually you get to the point where you're like, ah, there's no secret sauce, huh? We basically know how to do this. Now it's just a matter of, do we want to do it? It's like, all right, we'll do it. Then you start doing it. Then you start to feel more comfortable when you realize, like, yeah, we kind of know what's going on. We don't know the best practice in each thing, or we don't have a whole bunch of historical data on what we should do next, but we feel comfortable enough that we know the basics of the business and we could talk to a restaurant person. I remember there being a conversation at some point where it was like, huh, it kind of sound like we know, it kind of sound like we're in the restaurant business. It's like, well, we've been in the fucking restaurant business for a year. We are in the restaurant business.
It was like last month when we were talking to the franchise guy, and he's going through, you were outside on the phone and he's asking me all these questions, and I had that epiphany. I'm like, he's like, hey, you know all these answers. I was like, holy shit, I know all these answers. Yeah. What the hell?
It's weird, right? So then from there, it's like, okay, now we know what we're doing. Is that, you know, like now it's not as crazy. And these are all internal discussions. You know, now it doesn't seem as crazy. There's a point where all of a sudden you're like, I think if we could just take into account what we've learned, we could do this really well. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like, so you say, you know what, maybe we should start franchising Nacheria. Right? And then you're like, that'd be cool. And you're like, yeah, I don't, you know, well, wait a minute. Who the fuck's going to want to, who's going to want to invest in a restaurant that the people are like, it's all right. It's cool. Yeah, it's not bad. You can, we don't know all the answers, but I'm sure you can do it, right? It kind of forces you into like, well, if people are going to pay money to follow our formula for what, and we have, you know, there's a responsibility there where they're going to invest their own money. They're going to earn their living off of this. Like, then you start doubting. Like, are we really sure we would want someone to do that? And then then when you realize, yeah, this should fucking work. Mm-hmm. We do believe in this. Then it's kind of empowering on that level. But then it's still just different. I mean, it's for different people, different things. But it's still weird to be like, all right, we'll franchise it. But that's still different. I think we can do this. Is still like saying, I'm not gonna be a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Versus, no, we're gonna build the best fucking, you know, restaurant company we can. And this thing's going to be great. And it's kind of like saying those things is a little bit like saying, I'm a bad motherfucker, you know? Like, we got to think of another slogan because that's too many syllables for me to get out. But that's that. And so then it's like, okay, well, how do you make that happen? Like, where is this confidence going to come from short of fucking working in an industry?
How do you get that confidence?
What I realized is behind Nacheria, right? We're like, okay, we started with Basecamp, mm-hmm. and we started off thinking maybe we'll do some franchising or open a bunch, right? And then we shifted and we said, we don't really exactly know what it is. Let's start opening more. And then at that point, at least for me, I kind of moved sideways or backwards or whatever and just said, like, either because I don't know or I don't have enough fitness industry experience or I got a whole bunch of other shit going on, I wasn't as involved in the day-to-day learnings. So while I've learned, you know, the workout we use today is still the same workout I made up in the garage with different moves, right? But the same format and everything.
Yeah.
So that makes me think, well, I'm capable of creating a workout, but then part of me still thinks I don't know the science behind it. I don't even know. I would just do the same shit every day, blah, 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 right? But then running the business, I think, we look back and there's a lot of great things that have happened, right? We've put ourselves in a really good position. And we've got investors that are interested and opportunities that are interesting. But at the same time, we've got mistakes that we made along the way. Not once, not twice, you know, repeated mistakes. And it wasn't mistakes that we weren't aware of. It was mistakes where I was made aware of them. And I still chose at that point to be like, what the fuck? All right, fine. But there was I didn't take any corrective action. I didn't like take the time to jump in and be like, let me play a role in making sure this doesn't happen again. Then it would happen again. And then I'd say, what the fuck, dude? How did this happen again? But I still didn't jump in and say, this is my money. This is my concept I created. Let me take some ownership here and help you guys make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
I still was like, it was still kind of a you guys, not a us, you know, in a weird way. And part of that was because the team, to be honest, preferred it to be them guys and me rather than us.
Yeah.
But even that could be partially in my brain, right? And that was probably not the case on day one. It was just over time that became the case. And so then for that, I realized, like, okay, my knowledge is not as strong as necessarily it should be, right? I would feel more comfortable opening by myself. I would feel more comfortable opening a Nacheria than a Basecamp, just because more familiar with the product, or more familiar with the customer and how to get. I don't know exactly know why, but for some fucking reason I am, right? And then, so what would I do differently is, like, one, I started a lot of things without a goal. So there has to be a clearly defined goal in the beginning, mm-hmm. right? That says, this is our goal. And you can't let your lack of confidence get in the way of a goal that needs to be big. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always have to be this, you know, big giant goal. It could just be like, our goal is to create a concept that, you know, can operate under these metrics and can be profitable within X amount of time or whatever it is, right? Since then we've learned different metrics for, you know, the formulas for, like, hey, if you spend this much to start it, then it needs to do this much revenue, it needs to make this much profit in order to be something that others would be interested in franchising.
You think that was a mistake in the beginning, not setting the goal?
Not having having a vision, and that was kind of like my big learning lately, is like, it's great. You know, it's great to be like, hey, I'm an idea guy, hippie, you know, but like, there has to be, if you have the idea in your head, it's also hard for people to extract all that. Mm-hmm. So even if you got really smart, hardworking people, sometimes it's kind of like, they need a little bit more of the vision with some goals attached to it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's different. If you're hired to operate something and you think, well, this guy's goal is basically to have something that doesn't lose a whole bunch of money because he's got a whole bunch of shit going on, he isn't really worried about it. That's different than if you're like, no, the job I got hired for is to turn this into the biggest, best company within its category, mm-hmm. right? So you got to have the goals in the beginning. And you're not always going to have the goals in the beginning. But I'm just talking about in our case. In order to work on any new projects, we would be crazy and proving that we're never going to learn anything if we didn't have the goals defined in the beginning, mm-hmm. both a big picture goal that we're working towards and the short-term goals for each step along the way. And we got to be prepared. So we got to understand the industry and all the steps involved and not just understand the fun creative part, like understand all the everything that's going to go into it, right? Because the other situation you want to avoid is you can't have a situation where knowledge is not transferable or readily available to other people, right? Like if someone doesn't show up to work today or during the course of a meeting or negotiation decides that it's in their best interest not to share something, because if they don't share it, they're the only one that knows it and they retain power. Well, that's logical for them, mm-hmm. but it's not the best thing for the business, right? There are always things are going to happen and there has to be processes in place where you're not relying on any one person to do any one thing. And the business can't stop if someone just decides, like, I don't want to deal with this anymore, or I didn't want to teach anyone else how to do this because I wanted to be more valuable. So especially the leader and then everyone else within the team needs to have a broad depth of knowledge of things just in case, right?
So how do you do that? Like, what's a process to be able to...
You just take time. It just takes time. You just got to take time. You got to research. You got to talk to a bunch of people. You got to, every time a little thing pops up, you got to see if it leads to something else or something mm-hmm. else, something else, or if it's just one thing you need to understand. A lot of times it's frustrating, right? Because you're like, all right, I got to figure this shit out. And then in the course of figuring that thing out, you figure out that there's three other things in there that you also need to understand completely if you really want to figure it all out. And then it just seems like it never ends.
Yeah.
But generally, it's not that complicated. It's not as daunting. The unknown is more daunting than the known. So usually, like, none of the shit we're working on is rocket science. So you can figure it all out, right? Then you have to have systems in place where you can replace people as needed, right? And you're developing people so that people can, as people step into bigger roles, it doesn't mean that they're going to work themselves, you know, to the point of exhaustion because they're trying to do their old job plus a new job. Or if someone decides they have a better opportunity or wants to use their leverage, you have to be able to have other people that are waiting to step in, right? So we have to make sure that we have those systems in place. And then And then, and it's not just the person above that person that needs to know what that person needs to know. Like, right. So there has to be a better knowledge transfer. There should be a, it all has to be organized, and there has to be productive meetings where people are learning as much as they need to know about something and also knowing how to find out more if they need to. And then you have to like also figure out like what are the opportunities, right? And you got to be clear and share with everyone like the vision and what they're signing on for, right? Because you'll get a lot of situations where there's just people looking at each other going, hey, that's not how this is, or that's not what I signed on for, or I don't understand why you see it that way. It's usually just because there wasn't enough communication or it wasn't simplified in the beginning. And so it's not even a misunderstanding or like a someone doing something wrong. It's just something that wasn't defined, that should have been defined. So someone, because it's not defined, there's no need to define it. So someone just decides this the way it is and goes off in one direction. And then, you know, you find, even within companies, you find like from a not the business owner, from a staff perspective, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard sometimes. We kind of talked about this, like to feel like you built the thing, like you built the thing and you played it and you did it. And like, so even from that perspective, when you're taking a job or doing a thing, you have to understand how that works. Right. And like how, I don't know, who knows if there's a sale down the road, like how's that going to work? And like, or if, you know, if your expectations are X, can that even work within this company, right? Like if you're like, I want to make like $2 million a year working in this company, but the company does like $2 million a year. Like how are you going to, would you ever make $2 million? I mean, that's an extreme example, right? But like there's a lot of those things where it's the same thing. And the people get to the point, they're like, I'm frustrated.
Why do you think that is people don't communicate? Like,
well, one, I think a lot of it's the same thing, the same, like coming across as greedy or arrogant or cocky, or, you know, people are like, oh, I want to come across a certain way. But, and part of it is you don't want to know the answer, right? So sometimes you don't want to research something because you think you really like the idea and you're excited about it. And you really don't want to find something that will make you less excited or fuck up the idea as a whole, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and so it's the same for an employee sometimes where they're really excited about a company. Mm-hmm. But like, the things they want are really aligned with like going off and doing their own thing, but they don't want to go off and do their own thing, and then they want them within that company, but it's impossible, right? And so then if it's not managed properly, it turns into this like awkward thing or this resentment of like, I should own the fucking company, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's, you know, any specific examples, but that could happen, or someone, it's the same in a situation where someone resents like their boss or whatever it is, right? Like, you know, it's Apple's used to happen where people would come in and we were hiring for customer service most of the time. People would come in and, you want to be in customer service? Yeah. Like, you know, because they're trying to pass an interview.
Yeah.
You like customer service? Fuck yeah. All I want to do is customer service. Would you be excited to deal with customers all day? Yes. I'm a people person. I love it. I can't, you know, I just want to get in there. I'm so glad you guys
want to be forward facing. Yeah. You know?
And then they get in the company, and whether it's on the second day or the second week or the second month, they're like, how do I transfer into marketing? It's like, you can't transfer into marketing. What do you mean? Like, it's like, fuck you.
I used to do interviews where people, like, they would apply for like a, I was the installation manager, and they would apply as a technician. And then the second question the guy asked was, so how do I become a project manager? I was like, well, you don't want this job.
So they haven't done their research, or they're not taking the proper approach to like, how is this, what's my path within here, and how does it fit within the inside? Like, and then you get in scenarios where it's like, you could hire someone, and you're hiring them because they would be a really good customer service rep.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at that as a positive. And they're taking a job where they're looking at it as like, I don't even want this job. I just want to get my foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then a marketing job comes up. And they're like, can I apply for marketing? It's like, either no, or do you have any marketing experience? No, but don't you guys take care of, you know, your own employees first? It's like, well, no, we're trying to hire a marketing person. You just applied as a fucking customer service person. You've been working here for 3 months. And then they start, you know, hey, I mean, this is not a specific, this is kind of a specific example from way back when. And then it's more like, then that employee starts telling people like, It's bullshit. They just hire from. They don't promote from within. They just hire from the outside. It's like, well, no. Generally, the person that's going to get hired, say, to be the director of marketing, if it was going to be hired from within, would be the marketing manager. That person might apply, and you'd have outside candidates. But you wouldn't necessarily take a customer service rep and let them apply to be. Although Tony at one point made a rash decision to make a graphic designer the VP of marketing.
How did that turn out?
It was a disaster. First thing he did was said, you know what, why are we paying all these affiliates all this money? Let's put a hold on that. And like, I don't remember what it was, but it was something like sales went down like $10 million in the first month.
Whoops.
But anyways.
Hey, we got a question from YouTube.
What is it?
They're
watching right now?
Yeah, they're watching. It's live. Oh. They want to know, how do you validate your ideas?
Well, the problem is if I try to validate them. So I could validate in my own head and say, yeah, that's a really fucking good idea. It seemed like just as good idea as it was yesterday. And then the next day you're like, it's a fucking good idea. But unless I am either selling something to myself or starting a one-man company, it doesn't matter. So that's when usually then you start sharing it with people you work with or create a test product and see if the customers you were hoping would buy it would buy it. But I'm not saying I have the discipline to always do that. A lot of times I just fall in love with my own idea and then just try it and then, you know, can't figure out why it didn't work as well as possible. Which is another thing within the mindset is like money affects these things too. So money, when I look back and I think we talked about regret, that's that. Money's more like, I don't think money makes you less hungry or less motivated, or me, for example. It just gives you a higher tolerance for two things. One, you could be like, it's cool, just do it for fun. Like, as long as it's, you know, decent, it'll be fun. But you're kidding yourself, because it's really not going to be that fun. It's going to be the same amount of work for everyone else involved. And it's not just about you. They're all going to want, if they do something really well, they're going to want to know how they can grow into bigger roles or how you can take it somewhere else. And then two, it can postpone decisions that you know need to be made. Like, say you're like, this person's not the best for the job, or this isn't the best use of our time, or this project isn't the best use of money. If you can afford to lose it, you might be more prone to be like, I don't want to deal with it right now. Right? So that's, you know, there's a whole bunch of ways where that comes into context, whether it's money or having the lack of confidence. So then you whether it's a employee or a business partner or something, you're like, that person's probably not doing this the right way or the best way, but who am I to tell them? I don't know any better, right? So you're not following your gut. Your lack of confidence is like outweighing your gut. I think as far as validating an idea, the best thing to do is just research. Think of all the variables and just start spelling out as many scenarios as you can and being like, do I know this? Yes. Do I know this? Yes. Have I found anything yet that makes me think this isn't a bad idea? And the second part is, it's really hard when you get excited about something and spend a bunch of time on something to then later, it's easy to have an idea and then 10 minutes later be like, ah, fuck. Dennis is already fucking doing this.
Crooks and goons.
Yeah. Already got the shirt.
Already got the.
It's a lot harder if you spent 3 months.
Got the URL and everything.
Yeah, you spent 3 months. You've told your wife, or you've told your parents, or your friends, like, I'm gonna do this. And it's gonna be fucking huge. And you've convinced your fucking uncle to invest. And then you realize, oh shit, Dennis is already doing this, and he's way far ahead of us. Then it's harder. But yeah. Then again, your gut knows. Your gut always knows. It's just either ego, lack of confidence, or just blinders that, you know, force you not to do it. But what we're going to try to do, or I'm going to try to do, is just not have as many random projects. Only pursue things that have a chance of being something that can grow. And then taking the time to learn things.
I've got a follow-up question to that. Same person wants to know, how did you validate your Zappos idea?
Well, with the Zappos idea, I went to the shoe store, took pictures of the shoes and put them up on a website and said, let me see if anyone will buy them. I didn't buy any shoes. I just went to the shoe store and said, can I take a picture of your shoes? Luckily, got a really nice guy Ellie Monarch at Footwork, et cetera. And he said, what do you want to take pictures of my shoes for? Well, I want to take pictures of your shoes because I want to see if people will buy them online. And if they do, I'll come in and just buy them from you. I can't give you a discount. I don't need a discount. I just want to know that, you know, it works. So that was one easy way. You know, with, for example, dunk contest, we could have, when we made designs before we printed them and put them in the store, we probably could have done more surveys or gotten more feedback from customers and figured out, like, oh, they like these ones, and then fought over the whole, but that one's my favorite. It's like, well, who fucking cares? How many am I going to buy? You know, so.
I think you need a more PC version of Bad Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Which is like,
well, he puts Bad MF-er on his thing, but we'll think of a new one.
Isn't that what the guy in Pulp Fiction had on his wallet?
Yeah.
Which one's yours?
Mine's the one says Bad Motherfucker.
Mine's one says Bad Motherfucker.
Mofo, is that better?
Bad Mofo.
Nah, Mofo is just sounds like you're trying to be soft. And
trying to be soft. Well, shit, you hit the fucking nail on the head. Damn, Julio's whole demeanor changed there. You see that? He had one side of his lip up, like
soft.
If you had to give this speech to a kindergarten class, what would you replace Bad Motherfucker with?
So last night I took Luke and two of his friends to the Earthquakes game, and usually I was hoping they would put their headsets on and watch a movie, but they didn't want to. But I was tired. And I tried to listen to music. I'm going to fall asleep. So that's when I put the Business and Biceps podcast on to listen to that. And
this is during the soccer game?
And the kids are just like, oh, my God, Holly, they're swearing so much. Oh, my God, there's so much swearing. He's like, did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, that podcast was more hyped than the game, though. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I was like, should I turn this off? And I was like, well, they've already heard all these words before. It's like, yeah. You know, I think Luke actually was like, Daddy, turn this off. And then his friend Harrison was like, oh, this is not as bad as when my brother's playing Fortnite. And
I was just
like,
I thought
you say, I was like, hey, Brian, I was like, guys, just listen to the point behind the message, or the message behind the swear words or whatever. They're 9 and 10 for some context. I don't think they were getting the message, but they were.
Yeah, that trip last night changed them. That's the turning point in their life, all that cursing. No,
just wait till you hear from the teachers.
Yeah. And then, you know, so the other where mindset, it's not just a mindset. It's like, so once you figured out your mindset, right, you figured out, like, what's the best way to get, like, what do you want? And what do you need to prepare? And what you've done all that, then you got to figure out, can I accomplish that within my current environment and the system I'm in? And if the answer is yes, then great. You're all ready to fucking go, right? If the answer is no, well, then you only have two choices. Change your mindset, convince the system to change, or go get a new system. You know, but it sounds so obvious, but it's hard with all the other random things, whether it's, I want to quit my job and start a company, but I'm afraid. It all comes down to me to, like, general, most of the time, to lack of confidence or lack of research, right? You're like, I can't quit my job and start this. Well, then, if you really want to start it, work all night. Work your job and then work on whatever you want to start. Mm-hmm. Or why can't you quit your job and start it? Because I don't know. It's basically lack of confidence, right? Or then there's also people that are frustrated in their jobs all day because they want more than the job can provide.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't understand why they can't be their boss's position.
Yeah.
And it's like, because your boss is a person too, and he's doing a good job, and why would, you know, like...
Yeah.
There's just so many. It's just interesting to see how many people are stuck in scenarios that don't make any sense, that they're not happy about. And generally, I think a good meter on that, if you're willing to vent out loud about your situation, then you're just kind of being, I was going to say, you're being wimpy.
Hey, there's that works. There we go. There it is.
You're being wimpy if you don't change it, because you're basically saying, like, hey, I don't like this, and I would like my whole environment to change. You're basically hoping that everything around you changes. And you think you actually have convinced yourself that there's either a better chance or it'd be easier for you to get everything around you to change versus you just making a decision to change. So it's deep, Dennis.
I was trying to figure out if you're talking to me directly.
That's why haven't you started Crooks and Goons, Dennis? Where's our shirts? Hey,
don't be a wimp.
So what's your slogan? What do you like? all joking aside, do you ever talk to yourself in the mirror?
All the time.
What do you say?
In all general?
There's no joking allowed here. What do you, like, what, the gist of what you say, even if you don't say the same thing every time?
The gist of what I say.
Damn, I gelled that hair well.
Every morning.
Wait, I thought you said there was no joking.
Oh, yeah.
The, I don't know. I think, God, this could be a whole other podcast. what goes through my head, but the, like, I like, you know, like my situation, I like the situation I go through. I'm going through, like, money's good and everything like that. Kind of bored with it, and I want to change it, you know. And the thing is I've always jumped from business, like bands or working with other people, that I'm enjoying the freedom of not collaborating with anybody and enjoying easy money for at least a few years. And so, you know, I've hit that stride.
Hey, 1 second. When you send us an invoice, should we consider this to be easy?
Extremely easy. You know, like,
it's too fucking easy.
It's too easy.
I do this shit. I charge people a fucking fortune.
Way too much.
What the hell?
That faded sign, easy.
I just wait till you see an invoice on that son of a bitch.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but I'm, in general, like, I'm always trying to change things up and stuff like that, but I'm a little gun shy from, you know, all the other experiences now.
But what's the gun shy? The gun shy is like you know, to make a change, you have to sacrifice financially, and then
financially,
it'll take some work to get back to the same place, but hopefully with a chance to get beyond that.
Exactly. Or,
so it's not like, I don't want to work with other people.
No. It's just, financially. It's like right now I finally am comfortable that, you know, I'm only working 4 days out of the week now. I reduced my hours just to give me more time to kind of figure things out.
Yeah.
So just kind of, I'm working toward it.
On those reduced hours where you've, on the time you've allotted to figure things out, do you spend any of that time figuring things out?
No, I end up working. What I end up doing, I end up hanging signs and TVs and building shelves.
Dennis is starting a shelf business.
So what do you say in the mirror?
So
if you had to summarize what you, if you had to summarize what you currently say in the mirror and what you would like to start saying in the mirror, what would it be?
Okay. I actually do say, don't be a pussy. Just get up, make some money, go home and work another shit. And then now after this podcast, I feel like I should be saying, I'm already rocking it. I should keep doing more, you know, not be lazy when I go home.
Yeah.
And
not work.
I think I always get caught up working hard, but not smart. I think that's my errors and my ways.
I don't believe that about you. I mean, you always seem to like, we're always like, oh, we'll help you. And you get there and you've done half of everything else.
Yeah.
You've got it all put together and you always seem to have exactly what you need. That's one of the things that I admire about you. You always seem to, it seems like you've thought out what you need to do, how to put it all together, and it always seems to be...
Well, remember, he stayed up the last...
I did. That's right. I go through a list in my head, and I put down every possible scenario. When I show up, I'm ready to go.
If I ever ask Dennis if I can help, he doesn't know what to do, because he doesn't want to be like... He basically, over the years, we've realized that he's like, it's going to take me so much longer if you help.
just let me lose sleep
There's
for a couple nights.
There's only been a few times where he'll be like, hey, stand there, enjoy yourself while I do fucking everything.
If I have to explain it to you.
And in that situation, all it means is there's a really, really easy task that could be done. All right, Julio, what do you say in the mirror? And what are you going to start saying? Today is your mindset reset. Let's go.
Mindset reset. I have... Well, sometimes I'm really hard on myself, and I actually have this in my apartment written down in a couple places, and I've taken like a huge Sharpie and I've written down you lack discipline. If you go into my apartment right now, I have it on like on a couple places because I really feel like that. And I've had a couple people who've, you know, come over to my apartment, they're like, no you don't. I'm like, yes I do, you just catch me in a really good days.
Definitely lack discipline.
And then there are times when I'll look in the mirror and I go, you look really handsome today. And then that's usually, well, it's about 50-50 now. Right. So I have, I guess.
But
two
those
extremes.
Aren't related. Lacking discipline and being handsome are not related. So it's.
The handsome part is more about confidence. So I feel like if you look good, you're going to do good.
So you're pumping yourself up.
So I'm pumping myself up that way. Maybe it's way superficial to
Which
just.
Is still good. At least it's you're a step ahead of me because your thing that you're saying in the mirror is already a positive versus not a negative.
Yes. Yes, and then the lacking of the lacking of the discipline is sort of positive. I don't call myself a pussy or I used to call myself a pussy.
Well, no.
I'm like you lack discipline is not a positive. I mean, the positive.
I mean,
would
it
be
means like I can use more of it.
I will.
Is what I'm trying to say.
I will be. I am. I'm about to be incredibly disciplined before I pause. You know, speaking of which, I was like trying not to eat carbs yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not. I can't do the no carb, but I was like, I'm gonna have less carbs. All right, I'm good. And I looked in the fridge, and there was a half a key lime cheesecake pie in there. And I was like, well, I've fucking been pretty good all day, and I really don't want to eat any of that. And then I walked away from the fridge, and then I walked back to it, and I was like, well, I've been good. I deserve a bite of this, and it's not gonna kill me. So then I had a bite and a bite and a bite and a bite and a bite. And then my wife walked into the room, and I was like, God damn it. And she's like, what? I'm like, look at this fucking shit. And it was a, she's like, what? I'm like, this box is empty. And I threw it away. But then she's like, so what? I'm like,
oh. You don't understand.
Why'd you buy this thing?
My girlfriend tells me that too all the time. She's like, if you're going to be talking shit to yourself about, you know, enjoying something, then you're not really going to enjoy it. So you might as well just not even give yourself a hard time and just enjoy it and then go work out the next day or do something else. I'm like, well, yeah, it's easier for you to say, but it was delicious.
A slogan I heard or I read was win the day. Like, that's one that's actually I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, set the goals not so long because it seems so daunting when you're...
I was listening to the... I was reading the On It book about the guy that started On It, and he was basically like... pick a day, and during that day you're going to make every decision that's best for you. He's like, you could start that tomorrow, or you could start that, you could say, I'm going to 1 week from today, I'm going to have a day where for the whole day I make every decision based on what's best for me.
Yeah.
And then he's like, in theory what will happen is it seems attainable for one day to make all these healthy or whatever best decisions you should make.
Yeah.
And then what will happen is, I don't know if he fucking said this, or I started thinking, well, yeah, I guess because I never get very far in these books, but I was like, I'm assuming what's coming next is if you can do it for a day and you see how you feel for that day, there's very little chance that the next day you'll revert all the way back to doing nothing that's good for you, right? So
that seems like a really dangerous thing. Like, I feel what's best for me is to walk into this bank and rob it.
It was talking about taking all this money. It was like from a health and wellness perspective.
All right. But right. I mean, you ate like part of that you ate the whole.
That wasn't my day. I haven't decided what day I'm.
But
do
maybe
this
that
yet.
Was the right choice for you.
Well, it was, because if you believe that everything that happens is the best thing that happened, then
you can make anything. You can make yourself believe anything.
The reason is like, so I ate that, but now I'll remember how pissed I was when I ate that for the next few days, and that'll get me through maybe 4 days of not doing that. And it still hasn't got me through today. This was yesterday, so who the fucking knows? But
how are you doing on the carb thing today?
Pretty good. Actually, no. Yeah, today I've had none.
None?
No.
Hmm.
All right. What do you?
Yeah.
You got? What do you, Julio? You got anything else?
Negative.
Positive.
Please. Jeez.
My bad.
Retrain Julio. All right, Jim. What do you say when you look in the mirror? What are you gonna start saying?
Yeah. What do I say? I years ago tried to get rid of all the negativity in my head, because for years it was always like, especially when I was younger, like, it was hard for me to, like, you know, just put the positive spin on things. And I met a number of people in my life who I'm thankful to, who are just like, listen, you got to get out of this negative zone, Jim. Like, this negativity is killing you. It's killing the people around you. It's killing you. You're just not good, right? Like, and so I just started to think more positively about everything, right? Like, tried to make those positive daily choices for me. Mm-hmm. And then, I think a big change for me also was like working out. Like, that is a big positive for me, like, in terms of like my well-being. And I just think, okay, just for like the key lime pie thing, right? Like, well, I worked out, you know, so like I've got a bit of a leash where I can eat and drink a little bit, you know, things that maybe are not great for me.
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever, I look in the mirror and I think, you know, you've got this, you've got this today. And I think that I try not to be those people that are complaining about the things around them, because as soon as you start making those kind of complaints about your life or your work, mm-hmm. or whatever, it's too late. You've already fallen into that space where you're just like, what am I doing here? What am I doing with my life? Right? Like, yeah. I think then it's time to change. And so I think when I wake up every morning and I see the day ahead, and I do a lot of what you do, Dennis, I think about what's coming up. Like this morning when I woke up, I thought, what do I got to achieve today? Right? What do I got to get done? And as long as I wake up in the morning and think the things that are ahead of me, I'm excited to do, or that I'm happy to do, or that I want to do, like, then I'm like, okay, my life's still really good, right? Like,
yeah.
All the people I've surrounded myself with, the job I'm doing, it all seems very positive to me. And when I start to second guess those things, that's when I'm like, wait, do I need to like spend more time thinking about what's going on? Do I need to make that change? Do I need to do it? And I think it's easy for all of us to get into that segment where you're just like, ah, oh, man, what's going on? Like, it's, and I think that as I've gotten older, it's gotten easier to see those things, mm-hmm. to identify them.
Yeah, I think the positive thing you said is good. I mean, even I'm guilty sometimes of like, and that's what I said won't happen. There's no more them, right? It's just us or we. It's very easy to be like them. They yeah. did it, right? And the other thing is, which doesn't really relate to it, but for some reason made me think of it right now, is like you've also got to be honest with everyone else. So you've got to, I tend to sugarcoat things or avoid things in a way if I don't want to deal with a long conversation or someone being disappointed in me or whatever. But the reality is, here we are sitting here saying the only way you can really excel is if you know all the details and have thought it all through. So as a boss, if you're not being honest with people about the details, about their situation, about their upside, about how they're doing, about where the company's whatever's next,
yeah,
then you're setting the company up for failure, because how the fuck are those people supposed to make the best decisions and feel the best and do the best if they don't, there's some information they need from you. And yeah. sometimes being honest with them will lead to them being like, well, then I don't, obviously that doesn't work for me, right? Like I'm,
yeah.
like their ambition exceeds your ambition, or their sense of where they slot in is different than what you think. But like, there's no scenario where that's a good thing for no one, for them to string them along. You know, they gotta just be like, hey, yeah. this is the fucking deal. And I noticed a lot of times problems arise from me specifically doing that and not being just like, well, obviously, this is what it is, but it just doesn't come out that way. It comes across as, you know what, maybe it's this. Let me see what we can do. You know, but really, you already know the answer.
Yeah.
So it's not like afterwards you go away and do some fucking science experiment to figure out if it works or not. You go away and you think, fuck, I still know the answer, but I still didn't tell them the answer because I didn't want them to be upset. And then you do try to think like, is there any way I can change the answer? But there's not. You know, sometimes it would have been better off just being like, hey, if everyone knows that whatever's said is what it is,
yeah.
then at least everyone knows how to react to things. They don't have to figure out, is that the real answer, or is this one of those times when you're fucking sugarcoating things?
Yeah.
So.
Mindset change.
Mindset
reset. Now, speaking of which, I was supposed to pick Luke up 20 minutes ago.
Oh, God. Sorry, Luke.
So right now he's having a mindset reset of, oh, and I think I'm going to switch it to I'm a bad dude. I think that's better.
I'm a bad dude.
I'm a bad dude.
Hashtag I'm a bad dude.
I don't know if that is the same.
Maybe I'll just change it to you got this.
You got this.
Well, you told me I can't say motherfucker.
Well, I'm not saying you
can't. And he said I can't say mofo.
I'm not saying you can't say that. I'm just saying that like
and
that
he said, say, he said I can't say crook.
Yeah, that's copyright.
I'm a bad copyright. Crook.
That's copyright. Now, a bad dude doesn't sound right. I guess it should be something that you could say in your head and also out say loud. Out loud.
Not.
So I guess if I, what else do I say?
I'm a bad dude. It just reminds me of like a Western movie where like.
But I always go back to you're not a pussy, because even if I say like, oh, you can fucking do this, you're not a pussy. It always is followed with you're not.
Yeah. One quote I heard: sink, swim, or be the captain.
I'm gonna see. Wake up in the morning, I can get up, look in the mirror, and go, sink, swim, or be the captain. Please. I'm a bad dude.
Please.
I'm a bad man.
I'm a bad, bad man.
You could just be like, hey, you're good. You can do this.
Yeah.
That might be a little more in character.
That's true. I got this.
Maybe it's trying to put the whole tough side to it when you're not tough is the part that falls apart. Maybe I am tough. I'm just not willing to fucking say it. Maybe I'll say it in front of the mirror and go, I'm tough.
I'm tough.
Say, I'm the cat's meow. I'm gonna
fuck you up. I'll tell my reflection. I am the cat's meow. And then if the reflection laughs.
I think you should tell your reflection, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to fuck you up.
Julio looks scared.
Holy shit.
I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
Julio with that gnarled lip earlier has just set off a explosion of confidence around the table.
I should have taken off my jacket.
Yeah. Right now. Well, as always, we've met it. We found a way to kind of lose any confidence anyone had in us in the final minute of the episode.
Yep,
not true. There are still people watching this.
You know, we did a pretty motherfucking good job.
We killed it. All right. So by next episode, I'm gonna have we'll have an update of what the fuck the slogan's gonna be.
Yep. I'm gonna brainstorm and
maybe if you've got some ideas on what do you think it should be, you could. You could send us a something on that Twitter or a Facebook or an Instagram or any other one of those cool social media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you guys if you want to follow us on Instagram,
I got a Rolling Rock here. I could just say I rock.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's I like the Camaro. Nice. Get it?
I'm premium.
An IROC. So I guess if you want to follow us on Instagram, the startup at the Startup Addict.
Mm-mm. You guess?
Yeah,
I guess.
Demand it.
That was before.
You know what?
Before you'd say. See, that's the other thing. Some of these other guys, they get you fired up.
You know
they
what?
Got so much enthusiasm.
Follow us. If you want to change your life, follow us on Instagram at the Startup Addict.
If you want to come along on this fucking ride we're about to go on,
if you don't want to see any pictures, go to Twitter. At the startup addict, startup underscore addict.
There you go.
Jesus.
And then startup or the startup addict.com or YouTube.
Yeah, you could watch us.
Or you can have, watch us live.
Are we going to have our own URL on YouTube next
We're going to have our own URL by next week.
Don't
yeah,
miss
you know
out.
What? Yeah,
there's guess one what? Week left to say you were in before we had a URL.
I'm going to be a little negative, but you. Yeah, I never mind. I was going to say something terrible. And I was like, yeah, I probably won't say that. Anyway. Well, I guess
all
that's.
Right, well,
yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah. You're the cat's meow.